While the peace speech had its desired calming effect on the Kremlin, Kennedy's Berlin speech, particularly the next-to-last paragraph, must have made East German and Soviet leaders uneasy, as it made clear that, despite what Kennedy had said 2 weeks earlier, peace would in fact come on American terms.
Freedom is indivisible, and when one man is enslaved, all are not free. When all are free, then we look forward to that day when this city will be joined as one, and this country and this great continent of Europe in a peaceful and hopeful globe. When that day finally comes, as it will, the people of West Berlin can take sober satisfaction in the fact that they were in the front lines for almost 2 decades.
If Cold Warriors didn't conspire to kill the president, could it have been the work of racist right-wingers? Some people think so. By 1963, the civil rights movement was creating conflict in the South. There had been freedom rides, bombings, marches, police dogs and fire hoses unleashed on demonstrators in Birmingham, and a deadly riot at the University of Mississippi when an African-American student, James Meredith, was enrolled with the help of U.S. Marshals and federal troops. In August, Dr. Martin Luther King drew 250,000 to the Lincoln Memorial for his stirring I Have a Dream speech. As president, Kennedy was on the receiving end of violent and hateful reaction to these events, even though he was far from their instigator. In fact, at the beginning of 1963, Kennedy declared that a tax cut, not civil rights, would be the focus for the year's legislative effort. By the middle of 1963, Kennedy had submitted a civil rights bill to Congress, but its outlook for passage was highly uncertain. If racists conspired to kill JFK to stop civil rights progress for African Americans, they must have been sorely disappointed at the result. With Kennedy dead, Lyndon Johnson became president and immediately made passing a civil rights bill a legislative priority. Unlike Kennedy, Johnson had the congressional clout to bend enough legislators to his will to ensure passage. Making the bill a tribute to his fallen predecessor didn't hurt. As a result, Kennedy's assassination advanced the cause of civil rights in America. Over the last 20 years, and especially after the mainstreaming of the Internet, theories not grounded in fact or reality have proliferated. A case in point is JFK's so-called secret society speech and what that may have had to do with his ultimate assassination. YouTube contains a depressingly large number of amateur videos in which the producers display a single quote from a Kennedy speech, citing it as evidence that the president was warning Americans about powerful, sinister forces at work in the country. The videos, some of which claim that JFK was even warning about future government complicity in 9/11, all display a single paragraph from the president's speech.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
But what exactly was Kennedy saying? And what was the context in which he said it? The answer may surprise those who see the motivation for Kennedy's killers. The speech was delivered to the American Newspaper Publishers Association in New York on April 27, 1961. 10 days earlier, Cuban exiles, backed and trained by the CIA, were routed at Cuba's Bay of Pigs in a disastrous failure to overthrow Fidel Castro. In the aftermath, Kennedy faced the press and took complete responsibility. "I am the responsible officer of the government, and that is quite obvious," a subdued president said as he faced the press. But while Kennedy publicly owned up to the defeat, he also sought to cut off any further journalistic probing of the matter. At an April 21st press conference, Kennedy made the briefest of statements about the event and added, "I do not think that any useful national purpose would be served by my going into the Cuban question this morning. I prefer to let my statement of yesterday suffice for the present." The press, particularly newspapers, expressed frustration with the administration's lack of information, and a few took the president to task on their editorial pages. So when the president prepared for the April 27th speech to the newspaper publishers, which had been scheduled weeks in advance, he knew that he must broach the topic of his administration's handling of Bay of Pigs information.